Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. This is Steven Miranda on Wednesday, September 3rd, 2014. Episode 10.12, the Week 1 Preview Show. Just one more day, baby! Football is finally here! In some news, the Cowboys signed Michael Sam to their practice squad. Colts owner Jim Irsay pleads guilty and gets suspended. The Broncos have a suspension of their own. The Raiders are going to start the car, and Tom Brady tells you exactly when he will retire. I can't wait. Football is here. Week one, people. Let's chomp it in. Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves. All right. Thank you for joining me wherever you are in this great world of ours. Thank you for listening to NFL Rants and Raves. Let's get started. As I posted on Facebook and Twitter earlier today, I feel like a little kid standing outside a candy store just waiting for it to open. Come on, NFL. Let's get this party started. One more day, baby. Woo! I cannot believe it. We are finally here. It seems like every year we have to wait longer and longer to get to this position. Start of the football season. Thursday night football. Defending Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks hosting the Green Bay Packers and the Hail Mary, too. Remember the Hail Mary at the end of the game for the Seahawks to win that game? Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And that was the end of the replacement officials, by the way. But anyways, I am here real quickly. Thank you to everyone who has donated to the show in the last couple of weeks. I appreciate every single one of you. Do not believe that I have not, that I have forgotten about you. I will be sending out thank yous shortly. I've just been way busy with the season starting and creeping up on me quickly. But thank you very much. I really appreciate you continuing to donate to the show. It means a lot. I appreciate it. For all of you who have joined the Survivor Pool or the Pick'em Pool, the Pick'em Pool is free. You just pick, make your picks, and randomly we will select one person every week to go against me in the weekly picks segment. This week we pick somebody, and we'll talk about him in a minute. So that's NFLRNR.com/pick'em. Just make your picks every week in the Survivor Pool. That pool is up to $800, so it's big. You have one more day. Get in there, join. Go out to NFLRNR.com. You'll see the link to join the Survivor Pool. It's gotten pretty big this year. I can't believe it. We're here, week one. I've got lots to talk about. We've got 16 games that I will be putting up against a fan of the show. So let's get to it. But before we do, there's NFL news. After sitting probably a little longer than he would have liked, Michael Sam has been added by the Dallas Cowboys to their practice squad. Jason Garrett announced that Sam had indeed passed his physical and was added to the team's practice squad. He feels that it's strictly a football move. And he says, I feel like he has a chance to come in a position that we've been trying to address really throughout the offseason. That's true. The Cowboys, seems like their players keep dropping like flies at the defensive side of the ball. He says, throughout training camp and compete for a spot on this football team. So I'm very happy for the kid. I'm glad he's with the Cowboys. I saw some pictures of him today working out with the team at Valley Ranch. He certainly looks like he belongs on the football field. And with the way the Dallas Cowboys defense is right now, I say in 2-3 weeks, this kid might find himself playing extended period of time with the 53-man roster. So congratulations, Michael Sam. Congratulations to the Cowboys. Let's see if they can make that work for them. Now, big news coming out of Indianapolis, where the owner of the Indianapolis Colts, Jim Irsay, was suspended by the league for 6 games, and they fined him $500,000 for violating the league's personal conduct policy. That's right, $500,000. And that, by the way, is the maximum that an owner can be fined according to the league rules. people will get on that. Really, $500,000? That doesn't seem a lot to a guy who's worth $2 billion. But I guess, you know, it's still $500,000. That's a lot of money, and that'll make some charity very happy. Ursay pleaded guilty this past week to a misdemeanor count of driving while intoxicated following arrest at a traffic stop back in March. His suspension began today at 5 p.m. Eastern time. He's barred from the team facilities, and he won't be eligible to return until after the Indianapolis Colts play on October 9th. That's, I think, what kind of drives me crazy. It's six games, yet it's not even 6 weeks because the Colts play an early Thursday night game that week. He can come back the following Friday, and it's something like 5 weeks and a day. So he won't be gone for that long. But I think the good thing that comes out of this is Jim Irsay will be required to take drug testing. He must submit to drug testing. He's going to lose his driver's license per the courts, and he's going to be on probation for a year. The Colts owner is also prohibited from drinking alcohol during that time. So we'll see how it goes. Good luck to him. We hope he cleans it up. And, you know, it's nice to have a drink every now and then, but keep it in moderation, I always say. So the Colts will be out without their owner. It's not that big since, you know, the team really doesn't – he's not an owner that's with the team and has to meddle with the team too much. So he's still my favorite billionaire tweeter, and I wish him well with his recovery and his addiction there to painkillers. We hope he is off of that. The Denver Broncos have a suspension of their own. All right. In a where did that come from, can you say left field, wide receiver Wes Welker was suspended for 4 games for PED use, performing enhancing drugs. Welker said he was as shocked as everyone at the decision to be suspended. He is being pretty adamant in denying that he ever took any drugs. He said, I want to make one thing abundantly clear. I would never knowingly take a substance to gain a competitive advantage in any way, he said in an email. Anyone who has ever played a down with me, lifted a weight with me, even eaten a meal with me, knows that I focus purely on what I put in my body and on the hard work I put in year round to perform at the highest levels year in and year out. That is an email that he sent to the Denver Post. Yeah, Wes, I mean, at the end of the day, you can say that and you can deny that you didn't do anything. And, you know, I think there were some reports that he was even kind of saying that maybe somebody slipped him a Mickey when he was at the Kentucky Derby earlier this year. But at the end of the day, if you're found guilty and you get caught, you're caught. And you have to suffer the consequences just like everybody else. Welker is going to miss the first 4 weeks of the season. Look, I think this is a good thing for Wes Welker. Yeah, is it possible that someone smiked his drink while he was at the Kentucky Derby? Sure, it's possible. You know, you're a well-known guy. You're likable. You're at a party. Someone wants to, you know, give you a drink. You take it. I'm just, you know, I'm not apt to just take drinks from strangers, but maybe he does. I don't know. I would think that people that I'm hanging out with aren't going to hand me a drink that's going to get me suspended. So, Wes Welker gone for 4 games. I was getting ready to say, I think this is a good thing for him. I'm not sure he was ready to get back onto the field, having suffered a concussion just a week ago. Yeah, he passed the NFL protocols, but I think something's not right. Remember, he got concussed last year as well, and I think last year they rushed him back onto the football field a little too soon. Maybe he was getting ready to do that again, and maybe the suspension comes at a good time for him so he can get 4 weeks, get his mind straight, get his head straight, and then come back to the football field feeling 100% instead of maybe being a little groggy from that concussion. Finally, the Oakland Raiders, well, it's not finally. We got two more stories before we get to the games. But the Oakland Raiders are going to start Derek Carr over Matt Schaub. That's right, the car gets the start. Joining me right now is Oakland Raider fan representative Matt Benson. What's up, Matt?
How's it going, man?
Doing pretty good. So the Oakland Raiders and Dennis Allen have decided, even though we went and we got Matt Schaub, we're going to sit him and we're going to start the car. What do you feel about that?
I think it's a good decision. I think that they need to figure out if Carr's going to be the guy earlier rather than later. And if not, then we'll get one of the great quarterbacks coming out in next year's draft.
But do you agree, look, of all the rookies, Johnny Football, Teddy Bridgewater, Blake Bortles taking third overall, the rookie that is going to start week one is Derek freaking Carr?
I think it's crazy, but I think that after Schaub put up such a poor performance, he's been fighting the elbow injury, that he's just not going to cut it. I think that his year he had last year throwing all the interceptions just it did him in. So there's no sense wasting time and got to see what Carr can do.
So you don't even start the season with Schaub. I mean, this is week one. The Raiders typically don't do well. They have to travel all the way across the country to play the New York Jets. They don't do well playing on the East Coast. Now you're going to throw a rookie at the Jets defense, which you know is just going to be salivating. Rex Ryan's going to have these guys coming at the rookie, and he may look horrible.
I don't think it gets any easier for the Raiders, though. I mean, there's no good time to start. I think it's the first or the second toughest schedule in the league.
Yeah.
So it's not going to get easier. You've got to see what he's going to do against a good defense. And they already traveled out there on Thursday. They're leaving tomorrow, so they're getting out there a day early to prepare.
All right.
I just think
right.
that he puts us in a better spot.
How do you feel as a Raiders fan, though?
I think it's positive in the sense that there's a lot of good moves. We have better cap space, but we're at the same position that we are in every year. We don't have a quarterback.
You did earlier when we did the AFC West preview show, you did say they were going to get rid of a wide receiver, and it turns out they did.
They did. They cut Little. They got rid of him, so, and they kept Denarius Moore. So hopefully you can relive some of that magic from a couple of years ago.
All right. Well, for your sake, I hope we hear Carr to Moore a lot. That doesn't even sound good.
All day. He's going to get at least two touchdowns first game.
All right, man. Thanks for coming in. That's the Oakland Raiders for you. Just when you think that there's not going to be a rookie starting in the NFL in week one, the Raiders say, we're tricky, tricky, Oakland, and they start their rookie, Derek Carr. Now, finally, Tom Brady's going to tell you when he will retire. when he was talking to WEEI-AM via the Boston Globe, Tom Brady was talking about how much he loved playing for the New England Patriots. And he said that I love playing for this team and I love representing this team and hopefully I can do that for as long as I can. When I suck, I'll retire. But I don't plan on sucking for a long time. I just thought it was funny. It's really not news, but Tom Brady, you know, just when you start to despise the evil empire, don't really like what the evil empire is all about, start hating on Brady and Belichick. Tom kind of cracks up and makes a goof and starts joking around with the radio station, and you say, hey, he's not a bad guy after all. He is not a Sith Lord. Well, maybe he is, but that's for another day. Now it's time for some fan questions. All right, we only got questions on Twitter today. Everybody on Facebook was all about, you know, are you ready for some football and getting ready for football and happy that the football season is finally here. And someone saying, hail to the Redskins. Yeah, I said the R word. Okay, Kenneth, there you go. I guess that's what they're going to call it now, the R word. Justin wants to know if I'm Seattle. Am I in Seattle? No, not for the first weekend. I'm going to Vegas for the first week of football. And can't wait for the regular season to start. That's all on Facebook. There's no really questions there. On Twitter, we got Mark Brown who asks, what would be the number one reason Seattle doesn't make the playoffs? Ooh, I can't really think of many reasons why the Seahawks wouldn't be in the playoffs representing Seattle again. But if there's got to be one, it's got to be the health of Russell Wilson. That's right. They can do with a lot of other pieces going down for the year, but I don't think they'll be as good a football team if Russell Wilson is not at the helm. He certainly has shown me a lot over the last several years, and I think the kid is ready to be a great leader for a long time. So if he were to go down and doesn't stay healthy and he misses a significant part of time, Seattle might struggle, especially in that very talented NFC West. But outside of that, I don't see how Seattle just isn't right back into the playoffs. And also on Twitter, Dr. Heelan asks, will Luck target Wayne more than T.Y. Hilton this season? And that's a very good question. Right now, at this point, I would say that the chemistry that Luck and Hilton had last season is going to carry into this season. Reggie Wayne is back. But you got to remember, he is older. He is coming off of a year being out with an injury. And although Reggie Wayne is going to contribute significantly, I still think at the end of the season, Hilton will see more targets than Reggie Wayne. And that's all the news there is in today's show. It's get time to it. Time to start making picks. Time to start getting all those emails from people saying, you're crazy, Steven. How in the world are you going to take Team A over Team B? I love those emails. I really do. So please continue to send them, steven@rarn.net. They make me chuckle. But you also got to send me an email after I'm right and Team A does beat Team B. And you got to say, wow, you were right on that. And I get some of those too, but usually you guys never write back. So anyways, keep them coming. Here we go. We'll start with week one. And we'll just kind of talk a little bit about how this is going to go. Usually it was Jeff and I. We would talk about the game. We would talk about who we were taking. And if he, you know, took someone different from me, we would argue it out and see if we could get someone to change each other's mind. But it's not going to happen much. This time, what we're taking is in our pick'em pool online on NFLRNR.com/pick'em. I've got this random generator. It goes out. It takes all the entries, and it selects one name. And then I look at the picks for that person, and I put them up next to mine. And that's it. That's what we'll talk. I send an email to that person. That person, I say, here are the games that that I'm taking. Here are the teams I'm taking this week. Here are the teams you're taking this week. What do you see is different? And which one do you want to make the challenge game? That's right. The fans will be able to pick the challenge game. I will never get a chance to pick the challenge game. Wow, I don't know if that's fair. Maybe I should pick the challenge game when I lose. But if I win, then the fan gets to pick the challenge game. But since this is the first time we're doing it this way, I let Jeremy pick. That's how we're going to do it. If the fan wins, then I get to pick the challenge game. If I win, the fan the next week gets to pick the challenge game. So this week, I'm deferring over to the fan. Jeremy Parker from England is going to be representing the fans this week. And I guess right off the bat, I can tell you there are four games that we differ upon. It's quite interesting. Really early in the season, already four games that we differ on. And I will have my picks along with the fans' picks on the website, and we'll track it every week, and we'll also keep a tally of the challenge game. And if you are chosen to be the fan for that week, at the end of the season, all 17 fans, 19 fans will... because there's 19 weeks, kind of the Super Bowl. 19 fans will be able to come up with ideas for punishment if I'm to lose. And if I win, I could just play this over and over again.
I am the smartest man alive!
So there you go. I don't think I can go around and make 19 different people do outrageous things. Although that might be fun. So we'll see what happens. But anyways, this week, Jeremy Parker, thank you for submitting your picks online, and thank you for responding quickly to my email of which game you wanted to make the challenge game. From your email, I chuckled because I see why you make it the challenge game. So let's start with the Green Bay Packers at Seattle Seahawks.
Now, so that you know, obviously for the first 3 weeks of the season, I don't break the games out. I'm going to try and talk about all 16 games. Hopefully I don't run on for too long. But basically what I want to make sure is that at least my top notes for each game and why I'm picking the team I'm picking comes out. And then I'll tell you why the fan emailed me back and said they picked that particular challenge game. So here we go. Green Bay at Seattle, week one, Thursday night football to start the season. And right off the bat, I got to tell you, it's the Seattle Seahawks. I like Green Bay this season. I like them big. I think they're going to win their division, and they're going to do some good things this season. The problem is the Seattle Seahawks defense is just too dang quick. I have seen them for my own eyes. They are too fast. Green Bay still has a problem with their offensive line. I think Aaron Rodgers, last time he was in Seattle, got knocked around. I expect him to get knocked around again this game, and I like Seattle to win. Jeremy, also for the fans, has the Seattle Seahawks winning as well. I just don't see it. You know, it's a short week. You're at Seattle's at home, 12th man under the lights. They're going to unveil their Super Bowl banner up in the stadium, and it's just going to be something about that crowd being so electric that the Green Bay Packers may not overcome. And that's why I've got the Green Bay Packers. So we'll move on to the New Orleans Saints at Atlanta Falcons. Right off the bat, you get a very good NFC South divisional matchup. You got Saints and Falcons. I think these are two of the better teams in this division this year. And it's Atlanta, and it's the first game that we differ upon. Jeremy Parker is taking the home team, the Atlanta Falcons, while I say it's New Orleans who will get it done. If you look at these two offenses, they're both high-powered. They're both going to score a lot of points. I just think the Saints' defense is better. They're a little bit more savvy. They're more mature. They've been around together. They're more rounded. And they're just going to get to Matt Ryan and cause him a little bit more problems. Atlanta's okay defensively, but I think they still got some time they need to gel with one another. So I like the New Orleans Saints because I think in a game where a lot of points are going to get scored, might be one of those games where the last team that has the ball at the end of the game goes to score and win the winning points. And I like Drew Brees in that situation with the plethora of weapons that he has this year at his disposal. And the new additions in Brandon Cooks, running back Kyrie Robinson, who has turned it up a notch this preseason, looks pretty good. You just don't know who's going to get the ball. Who is going to hurt you? When you go play the New Orleans Saints, that's what you got to ask yourself. Who's going to hurt you? And this week, I think that hurting the New Orleans Saints, the Atlanta Falcons, is going to be a little bit of everybody. I think the Saints are going to come out early and say, look, we can run the football with Robinson and Ingram and Thomas. We could throw it to our guy, Jimmy Graham, who could score, you know, 18 to 20 touchdowns this season. We could throw it to our young guy, Cooks. We've also got the old veteran, Marcus Colston. There's just so many weapons. You don't know who to pick. And I think Drew Brees is going to use everyone at his disposal. And at the end of the day, it'll be too much for the Atlanta Falcons. Moving on, Cincinnati at Baltimore. I forget, people, do we ring the bell after every game? I know that we ring the bell for every breakout when I break them out to, you know, game of the week, juego grande estupendo, games of importance, snap games. But do we do them for every game the first couple weeks? I haven't listened to a show in a while, so I'm not sure. Plus, I don't know if you can listen. My nose is a little stuffy. I've been kind of fighting this. It's not a sickness. I think it's allergies. I'm getting this thing where I'm allergic. I think I'm allergic to my puppy. We just got a puppy. If you guys know me and you've heard of the show and seen Facebook, we got a little puppy. She is cute. I love her to death. She is just great. But she started shedding her baby puppy hair. And her, I guess, adult hair is coming out. And that stuff that she's shedding, it's just making my eyes water and runny nose. And it's been awful. So if I sound congested, it's because I am. It just shows you how much and how much passion I have for this game and for this podcast. And for you, the listeners who listen, how much passion I have for you guys. I'm here playing sick, like I always am. I'm sick for you. So I'm trying to get rid of this. So hopefully I'm not sick when I come to your town to visit a football game. Anyways, Cincinnati at Baltimore. The Cincinnati Bengals travel to face division rival Baltimore Ravens. All right, guys. This is a tough pick. Baltimore's at home, and they typically do very, very well opening the season in their home stadium. But I feel in my gut, I have this feeling that this is the year for Cincinnati to step forth and say, we are the Bengals.
Hear the Bengals growling. Lean and angry, here he comes a crawling. Lean and hungry and offensive brute.
They say, we are here to claim our rightful place above the AFC North. This is ours. Step back, Baltimore. You've had your chance. Whoosh. Step down, Pittsburgh Steelers. You've had your years of glory. Whoosh. And Cleveland, you just, you know, you need to go back a long, long time because you ain't going to be up top. So it's just going to be the Cincinnati Bengals, and they're here, and I think they need to make a statement early. They need to come out in week one. They need to show the Ravens they are the new number one team in this division. And I think they smack the Bengals around, the Ravens around. It won't even be close. I like Cincinnati to win, and I like them to win big. I am very sorry. I have not been giving you the odds. Shame on me. Shame on me. I'm very sorry. The Cincinnati Bengals in this game, if you look at them right now, are they're dogs, actually, in this game. They're a 2.5-point underdog. The Ravens are favored by 2.5. But what does that tell you about Vegas? And they're not even making Baltimore a full 3-point favorite at home. That means in a neutral site, Cincinnati is the favorite. And in the Cincinnati, the Bengals would be a big favorite. So Baltimore's just barely favored by 2.5. I don't like the Ravens. I like Cincinnati as a dog on the road. Give me the 2.5 points. Take the Bengals. They're going to win outright. I love them. I love the Bengals in this situation because they are prepared to come out and do that roar again. They're going to do that roar.
Hear the Bengals growling.
Hear that growling? They're going to be growling. I like Cincinnati. They're going to open the season with a big growl. We are here. This is our division. Come and catch us, if you will. And that's why I like Cincinnati. Representing fans this week, Jeremy Parker, also likes the Bengals. Moving on, the Buffalo Bills travel to Chicago to face the Bears. It's going to be a while before we disagree again, by the way, folks. the next six games, I think we, me and the fan, Jeremy Parker, have all the same teams. So in this one, we're taking the home team. We're going with the Chicago Bears. You heard the prediction show, and if you haven't, go back and listen to it. It tells you everything I need to know about the Buffalo Bills. They're a team who they don't believe in their signal caller. They went out and they signed Kyle Orton, a guy who kind of just played the whole, oh, I'm going to retire, Dallas. I don't know if I want to play anymore. I don't like this game, and I don't really want to be a backup, so I'm going to retire. And the Cowboys are like, are you going to retire now? I don't know. And so they just cut him, and he goes and he signs with the Buffalo Bills. That's the kind of guy that you bring in to be there in case E.J. Manuel is not the guy. Either way, just not going to be good enough. They have weapons, but they don't have the signal caller to take advantage of those weapons. Chicago, on the other hand, has Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler has gotten some cool rapport with his wide receiving core of Martellus Bennett at tight end, Alshon Jeffries, and, of course, the big man Brandon Marshall. If he can stay healthy and he can stay upright and he can get away from that Buffalo Bills line that could be a terror. They could cause problems in this game. I think he'll utilize Matt Forte coming out of the backfield, get the ball quickly out of his hands, and the Chicago Bears will take care of business. Now we'll go to Texas as the Washington Redskins travel to Houston. God, this was one of those games that if we did break the games out into tiers, right off the bat, I would put this game as a nap game because I just don't know what's going to happen. You got the Washington Redskins who are struggling offensively to find their identity with RG3. And you've got the Houston Texans who are so hard up at the quarterback position. You know, they had the Case Keenums and the Ryan Fitzpatrick experiment that they went and they made a trade with the New England Patriots to get Ryan Mallett. When you have to go and call the evil empire and say, send me somebody, that is a problem. But I really don't like Washington on the road because they haven't looked really good on the road. And the Houston Texans just, I got to remember this is not the Houston Texans team from a season ago. That was just awful. This is a new Houston Texans team. Jadeveon Clowney looks great coming off the edge. J.J. Watt just got $100 million. That's right. Can you say it? $100 million. Whew, with more than half of that guaranteed, by the way. That was pretty sick. So I think that defense gets after RG3, keeps the Redskins in check. I like Houston, and so does Jeremy Parker for the fans. Now we'll go to Kansas City as the Chiefs host the Tennessee Titans. All right, the one question mark I've had all season until I watched them play in a regular season game is the Tennessee Titans. The Titans are just that question mark. They're a question mark because I'm not sure if Locker's ready to take that next step and be the guy. I'm not sure what they're doing at the running back position. They've got Sean Green, but they've also got the rookie Bishop Sankey. And, you know, reports are that Sankey's looking really good and he's moving up the depth chart. So we don't know what they're going to do at running back. And I'm hard-pressed right now to name one wide receiver. Okay, that's not true. I've had so many fantasy football drafts. I could name a couple wide receivers for the Tennessee Titans. But still, they're not household names. The Kansas City Chiefs, on the other hand, they're going to come out strong early. It's like, look, let's build on our momentum from last year. Let's come out strong. Yeah, Dwayne Bowe suspended for this first game. But you know what? We don't need him. We'll ride Jamal Charles. We'll ride him hard. We'll take care of business at home. Let's make Arrowhead once again the place people come and fear to play in. And I think that's what the Chiefs will do. Both Jeremy for the fans and myself like the Chiefs. Let's get to the next game, which is quite a surprise. The Miami Dolphins hosting the New England Patriots. All right, the Patriots come to town and people are like, oh, here they come. New England is here. What you gonna do, Steven? Are you going to take the New England Patriots or are you going to take your eventual AFC East winning Miami Dolphins? Now, I know there are a couple people who are actually in Miami right now, who will be listening to us and be very angry when they hear who I pick. But it is the Miami Dolphins. I like Miami at home. Jeremy, for the fans, has taken the New England Patriots. He's got the Patriots to win the game. I've got Miami. I like a lot of home teams. I'm only taking five road teams to win this first week. I like a lot of the home teams. I think teams to start the season at home is pretty good. The Miami Dolphins have to come out and make a statement early. They don't want to fall behind in the division early, especially to the New England Patriots. Ryan Tannehill needs to step up and say, this is our year. You know, last year we were going pretty good. Things were looking pretty good. And then we had the distraction of Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin and the whole bullying incident. And, you know, things kind of, you know, just didn't go exactly as planned after that. Miami kind of, you know, the following week after that incident, they lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in a game they should have won. And they almost actually, after going down, 20 points, almost came back to win that football game. And they just never got on track after that big disruption of the Richie Incognito Jonathan Martin deal. Now there's no distractions. There's fresh, no hard knocks from a season ago. It's just them ready to come out and play football and play hard and say, we're here to make some noise in this division. I believe the Miami Dolphins have to come out strong. They're going to come out swinging. They're going to pull out all the stops. This is going to be one of those situations where I think the defense is going to get the better of Tom Brady. They're going to come after him. They're going to hit him a little bit. They're going to rough him up a little bit. The New England Patriots and Bill Belichick are being all coy about Rob Gronkowski and whether the tight end is going to play or not. I give you $5 if he doesn't play. You know what? He's playing. So I don't believe this. We don't know if he's playing. He got cleared to play week one. He's going to play week one. The Miami Dolphins aren't buying that for a second. But still, I think they'll keep him in check. They'll force Tom Brady to have to throw to somebody else. And in the end, Miami Dolphins will sneak out a win and come out on top. Right now, the Miami Dolphins are 4-point dogs at home. Fear the home dog, I always say. Fear them. Roof. The home dog here is giving up a lot of points. And trust me, people, I think they can win outright. I am taking those 4 points, and I will say thank you because even – if the New England Patriots win, it'll be close. They'll win by a field goal late in the game. The Miami Dolphins have come up a little bit in stature in this division. Well, I think the New England Patriots have taken a step back. I'll take Miami and points and win both ways. All right, moving on to New York as the Jets take on the Oakland Raiders. Well, as you heard me discuss earlier with Matt Benson, the Oakland Raiders have decided to start Derek Carr. That's right, little baby brother of David Carr, who used to be the quarterback for the Houston Texans a long time ago. Oakland typically doesn't do very well when they have to travel across the country and play on the East Coast. Now they're starting a rookie to boot against a New York Jets defense that's just going to be salivating at the chance to come after a young rookie guy. And Rex Ryan is going to confuse him by giving him all these different looks. And I guarantee you 3-4 times throughout the game, there will not be a single player for the New York Jets defense who is down on the line. They will all be standing around, kind of muddled around the line. And Derek Carr is going to be like, what the what? Who's the Mike? Ah, sack. Boom. That's how it's going to play out. They're going to cause turnovers. Take the New York Jets. The Jets are only favored by 4.5. Actually, it's gone up. They opened at 4.5. It's now 5.5 points. Take the New York Jets because they're going to win by a touchdown or more. I like the Jets big, and I like them to win outright. I don't think the rookie quarterback is that savvy that he will be able to go into New York, a hostile environment, and get his first win on the road. Moving on to Philadelphia. The Eagles will be hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, the Jaguars are a bit of a dilemma. They're sticking with Henny. Henny's going. We want Blaine Bortles to sit and learn. My only problem with that is that he looked significantly better than Henny during the playoffs, during the preseason. I'm sorry, not the playoffs, the preseason. Not just a little bit better, significantly better. And you know what? Here's the difference between Bortles and Johnny Manziel and Teddy Bridgewater. When he came up to the line of scrimmage, he was very calm and poised at looking at the defense, identifying what the defense was doing, and then either A, running the play or making an adjustment to the play. I saw him do that multiple times throughout the preseason. The other guys didn't do that. The other thing I saw Bortles do was stay calm in the pocket. Yeah, probably, you know, it's getting the pockets closing in on me, but he stayed in there, he stayed in there, and then he delivered the football right when he needed to after he'd gone through all of his progressions. The other guys aren't doing that either. So I like Blake Bortles. I don't agree with the decision to sit him, but that's the Jacksonville Jaguars' priority. And just because of that, I have to go with the Philadelphia Eagles. They're the home team. There's a lot of hype surrounding Philadelphia this year. Not that I buy into that hype, but I think that in this situation, they are the better football team. They have more offensive weapons. We're just going to have to see if Nick Foles can continue to utilize the weapons that he has. Remember, he's lost to Deshaun Jackson. He was a security blanket for him last year. Got him the ball a lot. But now Jeremy Maclin is back from injury. Of course, LeSean McCoy, little shady, is going to do some good running. I like Philadelphia to win this football game. I don't like the spread because it opened at 10. It's now at 11.5. It's just a lot of money. It's just not a lot of money. It's a lot of points because even in the NFL, you know, teams come to play. So I think the Jacksonville Jaguars, we don't know how bad they're going to be because defensively they look pretty good. So I don't know if they're going to get blown out of many games. I don't know if they're going to win many games, but I don't think they'll get blown out of many games. The fact that the Eagles are favored by 11.5, as high as 12 in some places, just goes to show you that they really think Chip Kelly's offense is going to be electric again this season. I would say stay away from that game, but definitely take the Philadelphia Eagles to win. I'm looking at a lot of survivor pools, ESPN. If you want to see where everybody's, what team everybody's taking in Survivor, go out to ESPN. Their survivor pool, I think 48% of the people in the pool were taking Philadelphia to go and win that game. I say good for you. I am not taking Philadelphia because that just means I will root for Jacksonville and the upset. Because just in case it does, say goodbye to 48% of the people in the pool. Goodbye. See you later. And we'll move on. But anyways, I do like the Eagles to win, and so does Jeremy for the fans. Now, staying in Pennsylvania, the Pittsburgh Steelers hosting the Cleveland Browns. All right. Pittsburgh, I think, is something like 14-1 in home openers against rookie quarterbacks. So I think maybe that's why the Cleveland Browns didn't start Johnny Manziel. If somebody wants to fact check that record for me, I would appreciate it. Because I know you're going to tell me otherwise, whether I'm right or not. So I'm just going to say fact check that one. I think I was just going off the top of my head there. But I think it's something pretty significant. Brian Hoyer comes to town instead as the starter. The question here is, how can Cleveland win this football game? How can the Browns go into Pittsburgh and steal a game from the Pittsburgh Steelers? I don't know. There really is no way. Josh Gordon's gone. Because that means now their best catcher is tight end James Jordan Cameron. And if I were a defense, I would lock him up and say, you know what, Cameron, you're not going to beat us. Beat us with somebody else and make Brian Hoyer find somebody else to throw the football to. I don't think the Browns have enough offensively. And the Steelers' defense is pretty savvy. Dick LeBeau is going to have something for Brian Hoyer that he's not seen before. I like Pittsburgh to win this game and win big. Right now, that spread is 6.5 in favor of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they're definitely going to win by a touchdown. I would like that. I like Pittsburgh. Go there. Jeremy has selected Pittsburgh as well for the fans. We'll move to St. Louis as the Rams host the Vikings. Okay, so the Minnesota Vikings get to start the season on the road in another sort of dome against the St. Louis Rams. The Rams, of course, are going to have to go with Sean Hill as their signal caller, as Sam Bradford has torn another ACL and is out for the season before the season even starts. That means the Rams are going to have to rely a lot on Zach Stacy to run the football. I'm not sure that Jeff Fisher is going to want Hill throwing the ball 40, 50 times in this game, so they're going to try and shorten the game by running the football. Minnesota will be like, thank you, you're playing into our hands. We're not going to want Matt Castle to throw the rock that much as well. I suspect Adrian Peterson gets the rock at least 30 times. If he doesn't get it 30 times in this game, there is something wrong with the Minnesota offense game plan. I like Adrian Peterson to run all day against the St. Louis defense. They had some problems stopping the run last year. They start with Adrian Peterson this year. It's going to be tough. I like AP to go all day. I like Minnesota Vikings to win this game. We differ in this game, as Jeremy Parker has taken the St. Louis Rams to win at home. He also has a lot of home teams. I think Jeremy had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's got 7 road teams. So two more than I do. I only had 5. So he likes St. Louis. No, wait a minute. He's got 5. Yeah, I keep thinking that he's got the same teams, even though he doesn't. Know. He only has 5 as well. 5 road teams. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. So we both only have 5 road teams. We're liking a lot of home teams this week. I don't like St. Louis to be one of those home teams. I think they lose this week at home. They're going to win some games, and I think it's going to take them a while to get comfortable with Sean Hill at quarterback position, and they will eventually be able to win some games. Not sure they win many games in their division, but outside of the division, they will certainly get some wins. It just won't be this week against the Minnesota Vikings. Right now, the Rams are favored by 5.5 points, and I say to myself, what? Did you just say the Rams were favored by 5.5 points?
What?
That's right. They are favored by 5.5 points, Emma. I would like the Minnesota Vikings as dogs, please. Thank you very much. So that's how I see it. I expect a low-scoring game. So the other thing I like in that is under the 45.5 points. I think it's going to be something like 21-10, 20-13, something like that. It won't be a high-scoring affair. So take the under in that game. And Jeremy, you're wrong. Now comes the big game of the week, for me at least, as the San Francisco 49ers travel to Dallas to face the Cowboys. Oh, my goodness. So I'll tell you what happened here. A funny story. No funny story. The thing is that Jeremy, for the fans, has taken the San Francisco 49ers. They're on the road, and I, shockingly, am taking the Dallas Cowboys. Now, before you laugh, don't laugh. You can laugh if you want to. But I think the Dallas Cowboys know that they have to start early. They have to get a quick start in their division. And the San Francisco 49ers have not looked all that impressive this preseason. As a matter of fact, they've looked downright bad.
It was bad. It had nothing. No fire, no energy, no nothing.
Offensively, they had nothing. Just like that. I know that I got an email from a Niner fan who was like, look, they weren't running that much read option last year. I'm not sure where he got that information. I got my information from Pro Football Focus. They're still running read option. Just because Kaepernick doesn't run with the football doesn't mean the play was not a read option play. They're still running a lot of them. I think teams are starting to defend that better. That's why Kaepernick isn't choosing to run, and he's choosing to throw the ball instead. Now, unfortunately for the Cowboys, you can't throw on the Cowboys, I think. It all's going to depend on how the middle interior linebackers do for Dallas. Rolando McClain has looked impressive, especially for a guy who was out of football in 2012. He's come back, and he's, you know, apparently he was let go by some teams because those teams felt that he had given up on them. He's been revived here with the Dallas Cowboys. So I'm interested to see how the Cowboys handle the San Francisco 49ers. Big thing is the Niners have some big pieces on the defensive side of the ball that are missing due to various things, suspensions, injuries. And the Dallas Cowboys, outside of Sean Lee, who, of course, is out for the year due to a torn ACL, they've got all their pieces there. Maurice Claiborne should be back on the field at cornerback. That means Brandon Carr, Claiborne, Church in the secondary. And I think that the Dallas Cowboys will be able to hold their own with the San Francisco offense. Then I think offensively, I think the Dallas Cowboys just know going into the season, we're going to be involved in a lot of track meets. It's got to be high scoring, and that's the only way we're going to win. So much so that some places have the over-under at this game at 51. There are some places that have it at 49. I would say take the over because I think there's going to be a lot of points scored. And that's going to be the case in a lot of Dallas Cowboy games where, you know, they're going to get in shootouts just because they're going to have to. They're going to have to. And I think both teams are going to be that way. So certainly I like the Cowboys. Jeremy, for the fans, has the San Francisco 49ers in what we believe will be a high-scoring affair. Moving on to Tampa Bay as the Buccaneers host the Carolina Panthers. I was so close. If you could see me, I'm holding my fingers like within like a centimeter apart from each other. I was that close to picking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I really want to do it because I think Lovie Smith has turned this defensive unit around for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They've looked really good. But offensively, I think there's still question marks. Glennon is just not showing me enough at the quarterback position to say, hey, I like Tampa Bay to go in there and win their first game. Carolina has held out Cam Newton from a couple practices this week, but I think he will be ready to go. I think Carolina has some youth on the defense, on the offensive side of the ball at the wide receiver position, so they're going to rely heavily on running the football with D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart. I look to those guys to have big games against Tampa Bay later in the game, not early in the game. Early in the game, I think Tampa Bay is going to control the defensive front, but as the game progresses and Carolina continues on their path of running the football to kind of try and help Cam Newton along in this first game, Carolina will eventually wear the Bucs defense down and start to get momentum. I like Carolina to win, and Jeremy Parker has taken the Carolina Panthers as well for the fans. We got three more games to talk about. Sunday night football, the Denver Broncos hosting the Indianapolis Colts as Peyton Manning faces his old team. I'm sorry. There's no way. No way. There's no other way for me to say it, but no way. Will Peyton Manning ever lose to the Indianapolis Colts as long as he continues to play football in the National Football League? If you, for a second, believe Peyton Manning saying that it's just another football game and he has no ill will towards the Indianapolis Colts, you can believe him. He probably doesn't have any ill will, but you could best believe he wants to beat them every single time he plays against them. There's no way Peyton Manning allows the Broncos to lose this football game, take Denver, and take Denver to win big. They're favored by 7 points. I think they win by double digits. Remember what the Broncos did to the Baltimore Ravens to start the season last year, and Peyton Manning threw 7 touchdowns? I don't think he quite duplicates that feat, but it's close. He throws maybe 5 or 6. They will destroy the Indianapolis Colts. Andrew Luck will not be able to keep up, and the Denver D will kind of knock him around a little bit. Take the Denver Broncos. Take them to cover the 7. Denver gets their first win. Indy will play catch-up later in a much softer division. Jeremy Parker for the fans also takes the Denver Broncos, and he said, oh, well, yeah, that's the challenge game, so we'll wait for that in a minute. Now the New York Giants travel to Motown to face the Lions. All right, the New York Giants are struggling right now, folks. It's no surprise here that both myself and Jeremy take the Detroit Lions to win at home. The Detroit Lions are under a new regime. It's a new era. No more being bad boys. No more 15-yard penalties just because we feel like it. I think Detroit comes out quick. Matt Stafford is going to get into a track meet here with Calvin Johnson and his new tight end. Reggie Bush is going to be running around like he's a spring chicken again, running, breaking off 80-yard touchdowns like he did in the preseason. I think Detroit will score a lot of points against the New York Giants, who right now are looking secondary, are looking suspect on in their secondary and in their offensive line. Eli Manning still is not completely in sync with this offense that the Giants are trying to implement. I like Detroit, and so does Jeremy Parker for the fans. In the final Monday night football game in Arizona, the Cardinals host the San Diego Chargers. San Diego Superchargers. San Diego Chargers. San Diego That's right. The San Diego Superchargers and Philip Rivers head to the desert to play the Cardinals, and I like the San Diego Chargers. Jeremy, for the fans, is taking Arizona at home. Now, it's true I like the Arizona Cardinals as well this season, but I think they're going to start out a little rocky. The San Diego Chargers can ill afford another season where they start out slow and have to play catch-up. They're going to have to be in pace with the Denver Broncos and the Kansas City Chiefs all year long, so I think San Diego gets out to a quick start. Look out for tight end Ladarius Green. This kid has impressed me all offseason, and I believe he is ready to carry the mantle of tight ends for the San Diego Chargers. A long line of great tight ends for San Diego, and this kid's just going to be another one. He's looked fantastic. Antonio Gates will still be on the field, but I suspect that pretty soon, and maybe even as soon as this game, Ladarius Green starts to get more targets than Antonio Gates. Plus, a combination of Donald Brown and Ryan Matthews running the football for the San Diego Chargers make me believe that they will just be too much offensively to handle the Arizona Cardinals. I know the Cardinals aren't slouches as well on the offensive side of the ball, but they just won't have too much offense for the San Diego defense. I think the defense will be too much for them. They're going to get after Carson Palmer. They're going to force Carson Palmer into some situations he won't like. I expect the Cardinals to commit a couple turnovers in this game and have San Diego capitalize on those mistakes. So I like San Diego. Jeremy likes the Arizona Cardinals. That means there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Is that right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games that we differ on this week, myself and the fans, as Jeremy Parker represents you guys. So, as the fans, you guys get to pick the challenge game, and Jeremy has selected the San Francisco 49ers at Dallas Cowboys for the challenge game. In his reply, Jeremy said to me, it's plain and simple. I'm a 49er fan, and he's going with his team to win. All right, so there you go. Sometimes it's that easy, folks. Jeremy, it's plain and simple. I'm a 49er fan, so I'm going with my team to win. There you go. Five-game differential. Challenge game, San Francisco at Dallas. If you go to www.nflrnr.com, right on the homepage, you will be able to see my picks right alongside the fans' picks, as well as the challenge game. And also there will be a link to where you can track the challenge game as well to see who's winning and who's losing. If you're not following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, get on it, people. Find all of the social media handles for NFL Rants and Raves at www.nflrnr.com. Right on the top there on the right-hand side under the login button, you'll see links to all of our social media handles. Thanks for listening. I'm running out of my throat's starting to kill me. I'm excited. Week one is finally here. I've been waiting for week one for like seems like forever. Well, ever since I left New York and the Super Bowl last year. But, you know, you got the point. I've been waiting for a long time. You've been waiting for a long time. We deserve it. It's finally here. Week one is in, not in the books, is about to be in the books. Week one preview is in the books. You know who I'm taking now. Make sure you come out. Join our pools. We'll have a lot of fun all season long. I cannot wait. Thursday night football. You know where I'll be. I'll be in front of my television watching the game and tweeting. Make sure that you're following NFLRNR on Twitter as I will be doing in-game tweeting. As the game goes, I make comments and tweets about the game. It's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you jump on there as well and join the chat and chat with me and ask me questions throughout the game. I'm Stephen Miranda. You've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves. Thanks for coming along. Week one is here, baby. Bring it!